program. And therefore, the challenge that we face is how do we maximize this? How do we maximize this program? How do we, first of all, ensure that we have the resources for it, whether from the fiscal or from borrowing in international markets and so on, and how do we ensure that it's South African industries and South African enterprises that benefit from this and not foreign enterprises, because clearly this will also involve a lot of importation, a lot of imports would come in as a result of this. We've set ourselves a target of reducing the import content of this from 40% to 30%. And so that's going to play a major role. We made reference to the macroeconomic policy, and this really speaks mainly to the monetary authorities, the Reserve Bank, and I think that except for this last outcome, where they seem not to have done anything, I think we've had, over a very short space of time, three significant reductions in the interest rates, which are intended to help stimulate demand, because part of the way the crisis is manifesting itself is in the decline of demand in the economy. Many sectors are in trouble because there's no demand. And so the effect of the intention of reducing interest rates is to encourage demand of products and services that are manufactured in the economy. We will use industrial and trade policies, and this really speaks to the work of the department to rebuild local industrial capacity, to protect the productive capacity in the economy and prevent the erosion of manufacturing base. We will rely also on the public employment programs. This speaks more to the extended public works program, the second phase of that. The first phase was very successful in terms of the targets, in terms of jobs, and we're hoping to better that with this new phase, second phase of the expanded public works program. We believe that social interventions will also need to be undertaken. As this speaks to the work around unemployment insurance to prevent and perhaps the interventions of the Department of Social Development in regard to social security. And then, of course, we want to ensure that the development finance institutions and state-owned enterprises also play a role in this regard. Some of them will clearly play a role in regard to the infrastructure. I spoke of Eskom, Transnet, but all SOEs have an important role to play and continue to help develop the economy. So these are the measures that have been identified to help us respond to this crisis. And many of these things we are already working on. Anyway, as will be seen later on. For our part as a DTI, the things that have been identified for us to do in this context would be to ensure that we improve access to finance. And this is access to finance both for small, medium enterprises, but for even large industries. Because one other manifestation of the crisis in the way it has impacted us has been to generate a freeze in credit extension by the banking sector. The banks are not lending money, and that has the effect of worsening the crisis. Banks have downgraded particular sectors of the economy, automotive, clothing and textiles, the small business sector, which is already, in fact, facing the challenge of not accessing funds from the banking sector. And therefore, we need to see what our own development finance institution can do to respond to that challenge. And so the likes of the IDC, for example, have developed special initiatives to extend funding on easier terms to ensure that firms have working capital and they can keep their factories open and so on. So you will have seen when we made a presentation to the portfolio committee 2 weeks ago that the requests, applications for access to working capital in the IDC have shot up. So they have an important role to play. But so will be the likes of National Empowerment Fund, all in the DTI. These are agencies of the DTI. COOLA for extending extended finance to small enterprises. Then is work around really protecting the integrity of our borders to prevent our industries from being undermined by illegal imports. We find that compared to other countries which are integrated into the global trade system, our borders are very porous. It's easy to smuggle things. And this has an effect of undermining our industries. So working with the customs authorities, SARS, we want to, and the police, we want to protect the integrity of our borders. And we want to deal with the practice of under-invoicing, as well as dumping. Dumping is when people sell goods, imports are sold at prices that are below cost, which is defined as unfair trade in terms of world trade rules, and we must combat that. I spoke about leverage the capital expenditure program, focusing also on government procurement. Compared to other countries at the same level as us, we're not using government procurement strategically as a lever to promote the economy, and so the existing legislation, the Preferential Procurement Framework Act, needs to be reviewed, and we've already started doing that work with the Treasury to see how do we use, how do we ensure that government procurement benefits enterprises, particularly small and medium enterprises. I think there's a scope for us to do better in that area. But also it has to promote local manufacturing and local sourcing. We don't want to necessarily call it a Buy South Africa campaign because we have the Proudly South Africa campaign. But we need to promote confidence in the quality and affordability of South African produced goods. So sometimes people tend to buy imports not because they're better than domestically produced goods, but there's a perception that if something is imported, it's better than locally produced goods. I think we want to overcome that. Many countries promote confidence in their own goods, and in America they started a campaign which China criticized because this can also be protectionism, but China has also started their own campaign by China, so everyone's going to promoting their own goods and services. I spoke about promoting competitiveness, that speaks to making sure that firms, economic operators, avail themselves of the support in the Department of Trade and Industry in terms of the suite of incentives that we have to support economic activity. And I'll speak about those a little bit more later. Protectionism is a danger where all economies seek to protect themselves and therefore undermine trade because we depend to a very large extent on selling to foreign markets. And if they create barriers to entry, it would not be a good thing. And so we need to get the balance right. And I spoke about diversifying our export markets. We export. We're too dependent on America and Europe for our exports, and we're in trouble now because they are in trouble. So part of what we need to do is to say, how do we diversify? How do we ensure that we also access, penetrate markets, large markets like India, China, Brazil. So part of our trade strategy going forward is going to target particularly those large markets. Now, in regard to what we are going to do as a department, more specifically over the medium term, we've organized our work in accordance with these themes: industrial development, trade, investment, exports, broadening participation, the area of regulation and administration and coordination. In each area, these are the things that we will do, so I won't spend too much time on that. Let me speak more specifically to some of the things that we'll be doing. We have, over the last 2 years or so, been repositioning the work that we are doing in regard to industrial development. And we released a comprehensive statement of industrial policy that we've shared with this House and the Portfolio Committee and the country more generally after intensive consultation. It's called the National Industrial Policy Framework, which analyzes the problems of the economy, the problems of industrial economy in particular. And we found that we haven't been very consistent and effective in promoting and defending our industrial economy. Although historically we have built a very strong industrial base, we are an industrial economy. We haven't been strategic and systematic in raising the capability of our industries. And therefore, we've identified this as a major threat and a major area of focus of the work of the department. And so in that context, we elaborated an action plan which identified certain sectors, strategic sectors, the key sectors. And among those that we looked at recently has been the work we did on automotive capital goods. Capital goods is a very important area because out of that will be the inputs into the infrastructure program. Because if we have the capability to supply into that infrastructure program, but many of these industries have declined. If you look at, for example, rail, in the area of rail, we were able to produce all products, key product inputs into our rail, which is your rolling stock, wheels, and so on. But many of those industries have declined because we have not. It's been a while since this country has embarked on infrastructure development of the scale that is being proposed right now. And so we need to be reviving these industries on the back of this infrastructure rollout program. The area of chemicals, pharmaceuticals is another one that where we have had capability, domestic capability, but also that's been eroded because there's no strategy to develop that. So we had an action plan, which were some of the easy, quick things that we could do to support the key sectors of the economy. Now going forward, we want to scale this up. And so there's work that's been going on there in identifying the key sectors and that we need to be targeting to develop their capability. There's also work around the technical infrastructure, which is your standards, quality assurance, accreditation and metrology. This is critical if people are going to have confidence in the quality of the products. So we must produce to international standards. We need to leverage our links with the region. And of course, we have a suite of incentives that are on offer within the department for all economic players. If you want to, whether you're a small business or large industries, these are the suite of incentives. If you are into exports, we have the Export Marketing and Investment Assistance Program, which assists you in marketing your goods abroad. We take part of your expenses. We pay for part of your expenses. Or you want to exhibit, you want to participate in exhibitions abroad to market your product. We have a program that's very successful. Business outsourcing, process outsourcing, speaks of the call centers. We've launched a scheme which has been very successful as well. The take-up has been so impressive of this scheme. We have up to so far about nine or ten applications for incentives, which has created several thousands of jobs. I think the DDG there has got the figures for how successful this has been. It also involves an incentive for training of young people, and we started this on a pilot basis. We took 1,000 young people working with the Department of Labor and Skills, the Skills Development Program. After several months, they concluded their training, and all of them, or at least nearly all of them, have been placed in the call centers. And the call center, the people who run these call centers are calling for more. They're saying, this has been very successful. Let's expand. Let's go to the next phase. And so together with the Department of Labor, we're looking at launching a second phase of this talent development for the call center. Black Business Supplier Development Program, this is to assist black businesses, small businesses, with marketing assistance to produce their brochures or websites and so on to promote themselves. Also a very successful program. And then various programs to support enterprises, which are grants with based on different formula. And then the cooperative incentive scheme, which is a fairly new, recent scheme we have introduced to promote cooperatives, because cooperative is a very important area, but one where we haven't really achieved the kind of impact that we hoped for, and that means that we're not leveraging cooperatives, the potential that cooperatives can make in addressing some of our objectives around employment, and addressing poverty. So going forward, this area of cooperatives will be a key priority a key focus of the work that we'll be doing. We've worked with the Treasury on a tax incentive, which is a very, very important instrument. One of the probably the most significant recent instruments of supporting investment and industrial development in the economy. And the details of that, the DDG there will speak to. And then we'll continue to support the automotive sector to promote investment in the sector, because automotive is a leading manufacturing sector, the number one manufacturing sector, which has got links. It links to 12 other subsectors of the economy, plastics, chemicals, leather, metals, and so on and so forth. So it is a very strategic sector. If we lose this sector, then we are going to struggle to maintain industrial development in the country. To maintain our capability to manufacture goods and particularly components that go into automotives is a key strategic objective of the department. We have spoken about the need to support firms that are in distress by making available funds, and I can also say that some of those firms are actually automotive manufacturers. They are in trouble, and I know recently that Ford, for example, IDC has agreed to extend a loan to Ford so that they can continue their presence and their activities in the country. There is a program that we call the Industrial Development Zones, which are designated regions where we put infrastructure and services with a view to attracting investment. We have currently three of these IDZs, one in Kuha, which is the more popular one in Kuha, East London, and Richards Bay. This will continue to be a very important program because we've seen its potential. All of these IDZs have in recent years attracted major tenants, investors, foreign investors. In fact, the success of the program is proceeding so far as government. We're struggling to catch up because a lot of the things that we have to do to put in place are not yet in place, and that could undermine this program. And this is a program that provides us with the best opportunity to work with the provinces, because for all of these industrial development zones, the provinces and the municipalities play an important role in regard to providing the necessary infrastructure, the roads, electricity, and so on. And I think if we succeed in coordinating with the provinces and municipalities in these industrial development zones, we could make a massive impact in regard to attracting investment and promoting industrial development in the country. This speaks to some of the work we have to do around IDZs. We have another program, the National Industrial Participation Program, which is the so-called offset program. Any procurement in government of $10 million needs to have this program of local, either local sourcing or projects that are going to benefit the economy in terms of industrial manufacturing and range of other projects that support enterprises. And so it's a very important program. We report to it separately sometimes in Parliament, because it also includes the defense offsets. We will be continuing to establish a monitoring and evaluation system to assess the impact of the incentives, because part of what we must demonstrate, and we're challenged as a department to demonstrate, is to say what benefits, you know, for all of these incentives that you are making available. You know, we need to show a lot more what the benefits are, what are the multiplier effects of all of that, and then of course to ensure that we don't give money to people that don't deserve to get it. Still is a challenge in identifying those projects that couldn't happen if the government didn't come in the way through these incentives. So we'll be trying to improve that. I've spoken about the role of the IDC, so move on. In the area of trade, investment, and exports, in recent years, we have spent a lot of effort in regard to our integration into the global system, particularly focusing on the WTO, the negotiations of the WTO, to ensure that the outcome of those negotiations is beneficial and doesn't undermine us. Because where we are required to open up far beyond what we have, it could damage our industrial capability. But also I spoke about looking for alternative trade partners, focusing on China, India, Brazil. Politically, very close relationships with these countries, but this has yet to yield economic benefits, our relationships. How do we ensure that our relationships benefit us? I think this is going to be a major focus, and the minister has been speaking a lot about this, about how we need to intensify our efforts to link up with the likes of China, India, and Brazil. Of course, Europe and America will remain important, and we need to consolidate relationship there. We've had this free trade agreement with the EU that was up for review. We tried to align that agreement with the agreement that the EU was negotiating with our region, the so-called Economic Partnership Agreement, the EPAS. That has got a number of challenges for us, but indeed our relationship with Europe remains very important, and we will be paying attention to that. Also, our relationship with the U.S. is very important. We export many value-added manufactured to America duty-free, in other words, without paying customs taxes. And that has ensured that now America is one of the most important markets for our cars, because they go in there duty-free. You know, both Mercedes-Benz and BMW, they export, and Toyota, they export cars to the U.S. in terms of this AGOA, the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act instrument. It's a unilateral. We didn't have to do anything in return to reciprocate to the Americans. So they give us, it's a very, very important thing, which we would like to see continue, and we would like to see a lot more secure, because if it is secure, then it can promote investment in our country, in our economy. People invest here and they can export to both America and Europe. So these trade arrangements are very important as an instrument of generating investment and thereby helping us to support industrial development and job creation. We also manage trade in weapons of mass destruction. We have a dispensation, a regulatory framework that ensures that we comply with treaties for trade in relation to so-called weapons or armaments, more generally, but weapons of mass destruction. So we're party to those agreements. I spoke about our work in regard to the continent under the auspices of the African Union and NEPAD. We have a program called Spatial Development Initiative, which is how we create infrastructure between ourselves and our neighbors that can enable greater economic links, greater business links, and the most successful one is the Maputo Development Corridor, which has resulted in the establishment of that the N4 highway through Mpumalanga into Mozambique. Very successful, because this is how you attract foreign investors. So we are proposing to extend these initiatives to other parts of our region, with Namibia, with Angola, and that will be work that we'll be doing going forward. I spoke about the WTO Doha round of negotiations. I won't spend too much time with that. We've agreed with the Indians and currently in the process of negotiating a preferential trade agreement with India, which we hope will result in a lot more balanced trade with India. The Indians are a lot more effective at penetrating our markets than we are, and a lot of South African enterprises still very reluctant to go into these markets, these unfamiliar markets. But these are large markets, so we want to create frameworks that will promote these relationships. For the rest, I think it will be work on promotion, trade export promotion. We have these trade missions where we expose our exporters to these and other markets, and then we have instruments like the export credit insurance that seek to support these sort of exports, particularly exports of capital goods and services. Moving on to broadening participation, we spoke about the growth of SMMEs and cooperatives by ensuring that we create an enabling environment. In terms of policy regulations, as well as the activities of our agencies, KULA, the Small Enterprise Development Agency, SAMAF, the South African Microfinance, Apex Fund, all of these are very active in the provinces. I think each one of these, KULA, SIDA, SAMAF, have a provincial presence. So we have the infrastructure in place to support enterprises and cooperatives. What we need is better administration of these services to ensure that they achieve the impact. But more importantly, because really this is development work. This is work which, if the government doesn't do it, no one will do it. The market does not respond. We know now, 15 years into our democracy, that the market on its own will not service these areas, will not service rural areas, will not service certain types of enterprises, and that, like in other parts of the world, this is where the state must come in, and we must do so in a bold way. We've been very tentative up to so far, and I think that, you know, you could almost say that we are a bit ambivalent. On the one hand, we've done these things, but we don't have the confidence. to go in there in a big way. And I'm really hoping, because this area is one where the new administration has put an emphasis that we must achieve better performance in regard to how we provide access and so on. But beyond that is for these areas to be resourced, effectively resourced. You will see when we look at the budget of the DTI, this is the work that has received the least support in terms of the budget. We're not getting the necessary budgets we need to do this work. It's difficult work at the best of times, but we must do it, because these are enterprises, unlike the more established enterprises, that are not able to stand there on their own without government support. So we've done a few things in regard to, for example, the markets of the products of SMMEs. We're saying, why doesn't the state, if the state is going to give money to small enterprises to make products and services, then the state must be the one that leads in procuring from those SMSs. And so we've done an exercise where we looked across government on what are the kinds of products that we buy from small enterprises. And we said, when we've identified the 10 leading products, we said, well, let's encourage all of government, when they procure these products, to procure them from small enterprises. So we are ready to implement. We've done this work for a long time. We're ready to implement. But we need the cooperation of all of the departments, particularly the Treasury, because procurement rules are governed by Treasury. When we procure, you have to procure in accordance with Treasury regulations. Otherwise, you'll come to SCOPA. And so it's a very important thing which we must take forward. If it succeeds, I think we can build on it. And I spoke about BEE, because BEE is policy, remains policy, but we must ensure that the outcomes on BEE, especially in regard to procurement,